In the name of the triune God, amen. The passage of scripture which will be the focus of our reflection today is from Acts chapter 2, and I reread verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, here we are, the last day of the quarter and the final day of the academic year. And of course, all this finality will meet its culmination tomorrow evening in the commencement ceremony, at which time our graduates will receive their diplomas and President Meyer will officially close the academic year of 2012 and 2013. And so this is a time of closure, of conclusions, of endings. And yet, it's also a time of beginnings, of new start. I think that that is communicated in that ceremony tomorrow night as well. We call it commencement. And if you'd go to the dictionary and read the definition of commencement, you would find that the first entry is a new beginning, starting afresh. That's why we talk about commencing an activity is beginning an activity. And so this is a time of new beginnings as well. As our graduates go off into new ventures, as our candidates accept their calls and go to the places where God has appointed them to serve, as our deaconess interns and vicars are distributed throughout the United States to serve in that one-year learning experience. New experiences, new beginnings. That's why I think it's very appropriate that today we are celebrating the festival of Pentecost, because Pentecost marks a transition from the old to the new. It is the ending of an old age and the beginning of a new age. It is the ending of the Old Testament period and the beginning of the new covenant as promised by those Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, through whom the Lord announced that he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. A new start, a new beginning, a new covenant. And that's why I think that the sign that is given here in these verses of Acts chapter 2, the sign of fire, so ably helps us to see this transition from the old to the new. Because something radically new is taking place here. And yet there is precedent for it in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, fire oftentimes was a manifestation of the presence of God. You go to the very first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, and we see Yahweh manifesting himself to Abram, Genesis 15, in making that covenant with him, appearing as that blazing torch. And then in Exodus chapter 3, we have Yahweh appearing in the fire of the burning bush. And then appearing to all the Israelites as the pillar of fire that would lead them out of Egypt. And the fire on the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai. That pillar of fire then led them into the promised land. And the ongoing presence of God was evidenced in that pillar of fire that hovered over the tabernacle. When the temple was built, the blazing glory of God entered into that building and took the place in the Holy of Holies, hovering over the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God demonstrated, manifested in fire. And so here we see that fire appear once again. And as you look at verse 3, it says that the fire came and divided and distributed over the heads of the disciples as little pillars of fire, if you will, tongues of fire. What's going on here? Just as in the Old Testament era, we saw the presence of God hovering over the tabernacle, so now we see evidenced the presence of God over and in these disciples, because as verse 4 says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. No longer is God's presence now located in a building, but it is located in people, His people, just as earlier it had been located in the one whom God sent supremely, Jesus Christ, who was the temple, and in His life, death, and resurrection now has inaugurated this new era, this new covenant. But He has ascended into heaven. And so where is God's presence now? It is present in His people, in His body, the church. He has come to manifest Himself in them and in us. Well, of course, we don't see these tongues of fire, these pillars of fire over our head. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is with us, that God is in us? Well, even on that Pentecost day, Peter preached the gospel to the people who had gathered. They were cut to the heart and they asked, "What must we do now?" In other words, how do we receive this Spirit? How do we enter into this new covenant? And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We now receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through these signs, through baptism. And that Spirit is manifested in our repentant faith. The Spirit now has come and made us His tabernacle, His temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit whom God has given?" You are that temple. You are that tabernacle in which He dwells. And as the Holy Spirit comes, He casts out that which is unholy. And thus Peter would say it's for the forgiveness of sins. But more than that, He brings power. Jesus promised, "You will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And you now have power to face the new beginnings, to face the new frontiers to which God is sending you. Power to carry out His mission in His mission field, wherever that new place might be for you. His power given to you that He might work through you. A time of ending, but also a time of beginning. And as we now begin afresh, we know God is with us. His Spirit blazes within us. His power empowers us for the mission to which He sends us. Amen.